Hello, there we go. So I want to do something. I have been kind of trying to figure out when to do this. So Emily, I'm going to have you come down here right now. So Emily has a special song she'd like to sing. No, okay, not really, right? Yeah, song and dance, opera. No? Okay. No, because that would be too much fun for you. No, the truth is Emily is going to be going on to a ministry school. She's going to be an intern, and I'm going to let her share a little bit about what she's doing because I will make it sound like she's going to Hawaii to go surfing. And which she doesn't like to do anyway, but anyway, I want to give her an opportunity to share, and then I want to follow it up with something, and so would you give her your ear, please? Not literally.
I don't want to do that, so. Hello. Some of you may or may not remember, but a couple of years ago, I went to Hawaii, and everyone thought it was vacation, and it was somewhat. I went to Surfing the Nations, and it was only a month. It was a very condensed version of what I'll be doing soon, but I got pretty wrecked, and it was this just crazy experience where God just came in and gave me a whole bunch of words, and I didn't really want to be there to begin with, so I just kind of stowed it away and didn't really use it. I was prophesied over a million times by all these crazy girls from YWAM who just come in, tell you a bunch of crazy things about your life, and then, like, run away. And you're like, thank you for that. One of the words that I got was about restoration in my family. And a lot of you know that 2017 was really hard for my family, and so would be the next 4 years. And so when I got a word of restoration, I didn't feel any validity in that, and I just was like, that was really nice. I mean, everybody likes getting words, so that was like, thank you. That means nothing, but all right. During worship, I actually, God told me that I kind of need to get over myself, because that's what he tells me, and he said that that word, as much as it was for my immediate family, it was for us. That was for the body of Christ, and our nation currently is kind of a wreck, and we're going through a lot of things. But he said, to be able to clean up, you have to have a mess, and you just gotta let things happen. And I cried a lot, I really feel like this is my yes, and this is me stepping into something that he's been equipping me for my whole life, as much as I didn't want it to be. So I'll be going to Hawaii. As Zach said, I will be surfing. I don't like surfing. I'll be doing it. Surfing the Nations builds community around common knowledge. And so their entire goal is to just build through outreach and through just loving on people where they're at. And by creating miracles and just leaving God's footprints everywhere that they go. And it just is this incredibly powerful, crazy thing. And no one sees it coming because everyone looks like they've got dreads and they surf a lot. And they just run around loving on people as much as they possibly can with everything that they have. And it's just this really selfless thing. And it's amazing. So I will be living there for 3 months on campus. I'll be doing work with the Food Bank of Hawaii. They build boxes for people, and due to COVID, we can't do a giant food bank thing like we used to, but we build boxes, have people come get them. We teach people how to surf. It's not fun. They hike. Well, last time I got like one dread. Because I was cool. It was dreadful. Getting it out was dreadful. No one told me that. It's going to be a lot of work, and I'm really kind of not looking forward to it, honestly, but I know that this is where I'm supposed to be and where I'm supposed to be going, and I'm going to love it. It's true. I'm going to love it, and I'm going to have a great time, but the whole program is around building yourself spiritually, mentally, physically, so there's a lot of hiking. I don't hike. I read. I'm not super into. I read about hiking and other people's adventures. I don't partake in them, so that's gonna kind of not be fun. But I'll be super tan, so it's okay. No, but it's definitely going to be a lot, and this is gonna be, yeah, lots of growth, and I'm hoping to maybe just learn how to trust and learn how to trust people and learn how to trust that what they say is truth. And if they're wanting, if God has told them to speak into my life, it's valid and it's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's not just some random person telling me random things. I mean, of course, you have to know whether or not, you know, but that's through discernment, whether or not it's real, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Okay. So if you're like me, sometimes you hear people say, like, I'm going on a mission trip to Jamaica, or, you know, and you're like, well, I guess somebody's got to suffer for Jesus. But I want to make it clear that Emily has grandparents that live in Hawaii. She literally could go there anytime she wants. She could go live there if she wanted to. Her grandparents run like a dozen, lots of churches all over the different islands. So this is not like, I want to go to Hawaii and play. When she came and told me that she was going to be doing this, I knew it was a God thing because, like I said, she could go anytime she feels like it. I do want to do this. We as a church body are going to sow into her going, but I want to give you as individual people to so into this as well. So I'm not going to take necessarily a formal offering or receive a formal offering. I feel like this. If the Lord leads you to give, you can do two things. You can either give it through the church and just put an earmark on it that it's for Emily or for Hawaii or, you know, something to that nature so I know what it is. Or you can give it directly to Emily, if you don't care about having a tax write-off or anything like that, you're welcome to just give it to her. Then we are going to also, like I said, as a church, sow into what she's doing as well. So would you guys just extend your hands? Let's pray for her and just believe for what God wants to do. So, Father, thank you for Emily. Lord, thank you for her obedience, a step of faith and believing in growth and stretching and renewal, believing, Lord, for just radical rethinking, radical life change and shift. Lord, I just trust that as she's getting what she's getting in Hawaii, Lord, not only will we be getting it here, but her family at home will be getting wrecked as well. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. We speak blessing. We speak all provision over Emily, Lord, as she will need money to be there and for daily expenses. And so we trust you for all these things. Trust you for her life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for sharing. If you have any questions, yeah, you're welcome to talk to Emily. She'll be glad to answer anything she can. And anything she can't, she'll make it up.
Not really.
All right. So let's pray, because you need to hear what I'm about to share, and you need to hear it through ears of that God gives you and not your own. So, Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that it's alive, active, that it accomplishes in us every single thing that you send it to do. We trust you. We love you, and we long to hear your voice. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, a mind that is set on you and radically shifting in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be forever changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start, I guess, I'm going to continue on in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer. And if you've missed, this is probably four or five, I don't know, I don't do series, but I kind of get stuck on things sometimes, and this is one of those things. If you haven't been here, I'll quickly catch you up to speed just for sake of you not being like, huh, what? Though you might still be. The Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, both. The last few weeks we've talked about covenant, His name, what it means to hallow. To hallow is to acknowledge, to become aware of, to literally dwell on who He is, His name, the environment of the kingdom, understanding these things. I haven't preached it like word to word of each thing, but I kind of more topic. So I want to read verse 9 and 10, 11, 12, 13, and then I want to hit on something today that I feel like is relevant to where we are, what's going on, and what we need to be doing. So Matthew 6, verse 9, it says, "In this manner," this is Jesus speaking, "in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm kind of stalling a little bit because I feel like the Lord is shifting something and I'm trying to grab a hold of it. I am going to go into this, but I want to share a couple things with you that are heavy on my heart right this minute. We are in some pretty wild times right now. There's a lot of things happening, and if your focus is in the wrong place, all you'll see is fear and negativity and unrest, and literally on both sides of the aisle, people in the kingdom of God, people not in the kingdom of God, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever, there is kind of chaos going on everywhere, and people, there's a lot of words being thrown around, there's a lot of promises, there's a lot of this is about to happen, that's about to happen, watch this, watch that, oops, we missed it, oh my gosh, all this chaos and craziness. And I believe that it is a tactic of the enemy to get you distracted, to make you fearful, to make you feel like unsettled, fear of the future. I've heard multiple people say things like, I don't know what this is going to look like, or I don't know, this being like our nation or Alaska or whatever. I've heard people throw out all kinds of crazy conspiracy type theories, and some of them might even be true. I don't know. But do we really know all the things going on? No. I've learned this, especially through going through this whole idea of the Lord's Prayer and the things that He is trying to share with us. Number one, it is time to stop relying on someone else to tell me what's happening. it's time to stop relying on someone else to worship God for me. It's time to stop relying on someone else to bring food to me to eat when I'm a grown adult and I can eat. Listen, kind of rubs me the wrong way when I hear people say things like, I am just not being fed. Well, in my house, the only people that get fed are babies and invalids. Adults grab a fork and eat. So, if we're waiting on someone else to feed us, listen, can you imagine physically if you ate one day out of seven? Like what you would look like, what you would feel like, what you would be like if all you ever ate was, and not just food, but something someone else already chewed up. Sorry, I know that's nasty, but think about it. That's kind of what we live like. Something somebody else regurgitated, and all the nutrients got taken out of it, and now I'm eating, and I'm not necessarily saying that the word never comes back void. I recognize that the word is full and packed, and you can always get stuff out of it. I'm talking about us waiting for somebody to lead us into something or tell us what we're supposed to believe or tell us how we're supposed to live or tell us what we're supposed to worship like or tell us what... I'm all about leading and submission and those things, but there's something broken in our society when we're waiting for someone else to tell us what we're supposed to do. I watched a video, and I don't know much about this guy except he makes me laugh. And so I don't know if he's clean or not, but there's some of y'all know who I'm talking about. There's a man named JP, red hair, long hair, beard. Yeah, he's funny. And he puts out videos on YouTube, I think, or whatever. Maybe it's, I don't know what he puts them out on, but I saw one recently that my wife played for me because my wife scours the internet and finds all kinds of... No, she doesn't really. And he started out by saying... He was kind of poking fun at everything going on, and he said... he was being like a news anchor, and he said, "Now it's time for me to tell you what to believe." And he goes on, you know, and I'm like, it's sad, but it's true. And he said things like this. I don't want to butcher this too bad, but he said, like, basically, my words, don't be a conformist. Like, the only reason that people are able to tell us what we have to do or what we have to believe is because we let them. Yeah. All right, I'm going to take this direction. I was going to preach on your kingdom come, your will be done, and what that means. It's actually the same statement, just so you know. And maybe I'll hit this next week. I want to hit on the next statement. Give us this day our daily bread. I was going to try to bring both of these together, but I really just think I want to hit this idea first. Give us this day our daily bread. Here's the question of the day. And Steve, you cannot answer this question. When you think of manna, what do you picture? Do you have some pictures? Like, could you show the first one? Some people think of that. Which most people don't, because they're like, yeah, it's got yeast in it, and it's leavened, and like, that's right. But I know that sometimes people, like in Sunday school classes and stuff, they'll bring these big, fat, yeasty rolls and be like, this is like honey and manna, and eat it, and I eat it because I like it. And, you know, I'm like, tastes like manna to me. We know that's not really what manna looks like. So other people think this is what manna looks like. Tortillas. No, not really. It's just a flat matzah type bread, right? Is that kind of what you picture when you picture, right? Like when I think of manna, that's kind of what I always pictured. Let me show you kind of more what it looked like. Coriander seed. Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. Read it. Numbers chapter 11, verse 6 and verse 7. Talk about it. But Numbers chapter 11, verse 6 says, manna was like coriander seed. But it also had, it was like in a resin. In the New King James, it says, it had the color of delium. Delium is a gum resin that is kind of translucent in color, sort of a yellowish color. But according to the Bible, it was white like frost, manna was. That dew would fall and manna would be on top of the dew. But it was not baked bread. I remember preaching messages like, I bet manna was the freshest baked bread you ever... It was not. So now the manna was like coriander seed. It doesn't mean it was coriander seed. That's why I said the last picture you saw was coriander seed. It's about the shape. It was round and hard like a coriander seed. But it was also in a resin that was white. So it was kind of like... So delium is, it comes from the trees like a myrrh tree it's used for perfumes and fragrances. And so it's a fragrant resin. So keep going. The people went about and gathered it. Listen to this. Ground it on millstones. If you read in... I think it's the New Living. It says they made hand mills that they ground manna with every day. If they didn't use hand mills, they stuck it in mortar. Now, mortar was a hard substance that they actually had like molds made out of mortar that they would throw manna in, and they would take big poles and pulverize the manna until it became like powder. And then they would take that and they would cook it in pans, made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared in oil. So some translations say olive oil. In Hebrew tradition, they say this. There was to adults, it tasted like adult food. To children, it tasted like child food. So not like baby food and adult food, but like the way Steve would put it. I feel like having strawberry shortcake, and that's what it tasted like. Now, that is what Hebrew tradition says, that it was kind of whatever you might have been craving for the day, that's what it tasted like. Now, but it had nutritional value. It wasn't like, I'm going to eat a banana split every day and stay nice and thin. Yeah, probably not. God is good. Yeah. So watch this. Every day they went out and they collected manna. They collected enough manna for the day, for each one. Everyone was responsible to collect manna for themselves every day. Whatever wasn't collected, left laying on the ground, it actually rotted, right? It spoiled. Again, I don't know how much of this is right or wrong, but I read in the Talmud that they believe that the more righteous you were, the closer the manna was to the front of your tent. So like, really unrighteous. They had to go like hike to go find it, right? And it was said that the stuff that was closer to the righteous person's tent was a lot easier to process. It didn't have to go through as much like difficulty. Anyway, it, regardless of whether that's true or not, the idea was everybody, righteous, unrighteous, right, wrong, kid, adult, everybody had to go out and collect their manna. Now that manna, had you eaten it in that form, would have done zero. It had to be processed before it actually did anything for you. Once manna was processed and cooked in a
fire,
once manna was processed, cooked in a fire, then it could be consumed, and it actually, the once it was in you, it didn't last forever, as in like you lived forever, but it no longer would spoil. Yeah, you understand? Like it wouldn't make you, as long as it was in you. If it was leftover, you had to get rid of it. So they actually, the idea was, do not take more than you can eat, and do not take more than you can eat in one day. And so the idea was never to have leftover. If you're going to have any leftover, you leave it. So in the Old Testament, you find actually two types of bread. You got two types of bread. One was manna that was collected daily and eaten, and the other was showbread. Showbread was, it was given once a week to the priests, and it was eaten as a community of priests, not individual. Get the picture, guys. What I give you every week is the bread of the showbread. It actually meant, the literal translation is face bread. Because it was supposed to be, it was the bread of the presence. The bread, it actually had another name, the bread of arrangement, or because the way it was supposed to be arranged in the holy place. And so this bread, though, was to be consumed in community, not consumed individually. Manna was meant to be collected, processed through, if you were to put it into the idea of the word, we process the word through scrutiny, through test of character of God, through knowing the truth of who he is, that it lines up with the word and the character of God, that it is not like, well, that's sort of out of character for God, so I think I'm going to... It either lines up with who God is, or it's not truth. I've said this before, this is not my statement, I'm stealing it, but the first person that made it into heaven was a thief on the cross. Anyway, I believe it was Bill Johnson that said this. And he said, if what you believe about God cannot be found in the person of Jesus, in the things that Jesus displayed. John 17:6, Jesus said this, Father, I have manifested your name. Everything that you are, I have manifested to these people. So if you cannot back up what you believe about God in the person of Jesus, you are thinking wrong about God. Do you catch what I'm saying? So if I think that when I'm in any kind of sin that God is revolted and pushes me away, we must look at the person of Jesus and go, how did Jesus treat sinners? He brought them near. So if I'm feeling that God pushes me away when I need him most, I don't see him the right way. So if we process the word through wrong thinking, or we process it to be what we want it to be, it's not truth anymore. So what we find in the Word over and over is bread is correlated to the Word. Right? Jesus even said of himself that he was the Word, and he also said of himself he was the bread of life. Sorry, I'm trying to find the scripture. Lord, where is it? Thy word is bread and thy word is truth. Where's that at? Anybody know? I should know. Somebody find that and tell me in a minute. Just look up your word is truth and then tell me where it's at. Because I cannot. What's that? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. John 17:17. Boom. Got it. Good, good, good. I'm glad I thought of that. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Did you hear what I just said? Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Matthew 4, verse 3 and 4. Jesus is in the desert. The enemy comes to him and says, if you really are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. Verse 4, Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. First of all, I read this and I'm like, Jesus is going, I am the bread, I am the word. So for you to tell me to turn a worthless stone into something that is not truth, today, the tactics of the enemy are exactly the same. Tell these stones to be bread. Here's how. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. God sees you as guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. Now eat it. Make that who you are. Make that who you are. You're guilty. You're wrong. You're not guilty. So she's like, stop it. No, she's not really. She knows I'm playing. But if the enemy can get you to, you're never going to make it. Turn that into bread and eat it. Do you remember how I taught you in the Lord's Prayer that what you hallow in secret, you will manifest in public? If you hallow something, if you acknowledge, become aware of, to really begin to dwell in thought on something that is a stone that you make into bread as truth, it will literally begin to manifest in public. Do you know that you can make scripture twist it around and make it say anything you want it to say? You can justify anything you want to justify by tweaking and twisting and manipulating scripture into saying something it does not, but if it doesn't line up with the character of God, it is nothing but a stone. And if we take those stones and that's what we hallow in secret, that's what we acknowledge, and we eat it, and we eat it, and we allow it to become us, it's built inside of us, we will then manifest these things publicly over and over and over and over. And then we begin to believe that what I think is actually truth because this scripture says this and that scripture says that, and I don't care that it's out of context, I just want to believe it, so, you know, this and that. And we take all this stuff and we start consuming it. And this is why I think it's so dangerous to allow somebody else to collect my daily manna and then try to feed it to me after they eat it. It was not meant to be. It was meant for me to get in the Word, to process that Word every day with the truth, to hallow it, to dwell on it, to acknowledge it, to take that as my fresh bread of the day and eat it. But before I ever consume it and allow it to become a part of me, I have to make sure that it lines up with the character of God, that it's been processed correctly so that when I eat it, it actually has value to me and it manifests in public who He is. It's really easy to find yourself, especially if you've been in church for any length of time. And when I say length of time, I guess I mean more like, let's say 20 years or better. It's really easy to find yourself positioned in like, I already know the truth of that. I've gotten all the nutrients out of that is possible to get out of it. And sometimes we do that and don't realize we do it. And so we have a tendency to kind of go, we skip over parts of the Bible. We skip over what people say because we think we already know it. But I've found that the more I get to know Him, the less I realize I actually know as a whole of who He is. I mean, I know His character. I know, I guess as a whole is a bad way to put it, because I know Him as a whole, but the Greeks called it mysterion, the mysteries that are hidden with a need to, how do you say it, like dig or mysteries that are found by slightly looking is not the right word. By digging, I guess, I don't know how else to put what I'm thinking, but Jesus was said to be shrouded in mystery, and that's what the mysterion, the Greeks called it. The Word of God, in the right times and the right seasons, there's revelation and understanding and maturity that comes when we step into eating that manna, processing it through the character of God. We always will find new truths in the Word of God that maybe we didn't understand before. Doesn't negate, doesn't do away with or get rid of what we already understood to that point. It adds to it. It's kind of like taking the Old Testament, now that we have the New Testament, and saying, I don't need the Old Testament anymore because I have the New Testament and the Old Testament's irrelevant. Wrong thinking. The Old Testament, the New Testament adds to the Old Testament. It increases the value of the Old Testament because we then understand what was being spoken throughout the entire Old Testament because the New Testament was given to us to be able to define much of what we've already read. Does that help at all? It helps me. Okay. Do you know in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, I think it's right in there. I know it's Genesis 4. Cain and Abel. Cain standing before God. God asked Cain, where's your brother? Cain's like, I don't know, my brother's keeper. And God says this, and I believe it's verse 10. He says, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. Do you know what the blood of Abel was crying out? Justice. Here's why this is important. Hebrews 12, verse 24 says, can you put Hebrews 12, 24? I need to make sure I'm right before I just start rattling off things. Hebrews 12, 24. It's like Christmas Eve. That's how I remember that verse. I know it's weird, but no, really, Hebrews 12, 24. There you go. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. God listens to blood. Watch. If we still see God as this God who demands justice and not a God who sees mercy, we miss the whole point of what Jesus did, and we then manipulate the truth of the word that we're eating based on justice instead of based on mercy. And if we process manna through justice instead of processing it through mercy, we get a whole different outcome on the other side. I just wanted to show you that as an example. Just there's multiple things that I could bring out and show you that if you process, though God is a God of justice, though justice is right, but the way that we see justice and the way that God sees justice, two very different things. We demand justice. God is justice. This is why when we long for justice and retribution and all these different things, we end up stepping in the middle of something that God actually wants to take care of himself by bringing himself into the picture and justice happening because God's in it instead of justice happening because I was wronged and I demand justice. What would happen if someone wronged me and I went and demanded some sort of payment for justice versus if God got a hold of them, justice arrived, and suddenly something shifted? Do you understand? Like, do you see the difference? One has destruction, the other has life. One carries with it mercy for long-term life, the other carries with it, I want what I want, and I want it now because I demand from you this. It doesn't work. You might get a certain level of productivity out of it, but it will destroy. It will kill. It will ultimately just squish. So again, if we read the word, if we're consuming the bread of our truth, and it's processed through something that is messed up, we're going to end up way out here messing things up. So as we're looking at a nation that is in chaos right now, if we process what's going on and we start picking up the stones that everybody else is throwing out there and saying, you should eat this, you should eat that, you should eat this, you should read this, you should look at that, you should hear this, you should, and I'm not saying you should bury your head. Please hear what I'm saying. Not saying that you should pretend like nothing's going on and just go la 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 la. What I'm talking about is processing the things that you are reading through a kingdom mentality and not through a worldly mentality. Because the world and the kingdom are at odds. They are on separate ends of the spectrum. And the things of the kingdom don't always make sense, but they always turn out right. Yes. The things of the world, there's a way that seems right to a man. The end thereof is death. That means there's a way to a man that seems wrong. The end there is life. I can prove that. Listen, here's how I can prove it. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the scrutiny of going both directions. If that statement of there is a way that seems right to man, the end thereof is death, if that is true at all, it has to also be true in reverse. Otherwise, it is not a true statement. Just like without Jesus, I'm lost forever. The truth of that must then be true that with Jesus, I'm saved forever. Yeah. Do you see? Truth has to be able to go both directions or it's not a truth. It's another gauge we can use to know if what we're looking at is truth. Bible School 102. It's probably not 101. I don't know. It's somewhere in there. Not that I ever went to Bible school. Yeah, right. No, okay, I did. I went to Jesus school. So, it's getting about that time. I want to share. You should have heard all this stuff I had written down. It would have been so good for you. No, you don't want me to say all this, man. It's pages of stuff here. I know. I'll come home and share it with you later. I don't need to share any of that. Okay. I really wanted us today to get two things. Number one, it's not someone else's responsibility to worship for you. It's not someone else's responsibility to get in the Word for you. It's not somebody else's responsibility to even process what you're reading. It's one thing to need help, to learn, to all those things. But we have an obligation to, especially right now, I believe we are standing in such a crucial time that if we do not learn to stand on our own, if we do not learn to think on our own, worship on our own, read and study on our own, then what we're doing corporately is really going to be in danger, because someone standing down here could feed you whatever they feel like feeding you. And if that's the only time you're eating, it's a dangerous thing to have. I believe that right now we're standing, we're positioned in a time where I'm hearing more and more people come and tell me the things that they're hearing and seeing, things that make no sense at first, and the outcome of what the obedience to what they're hearing. Guys, I'm hearing testimonies that I'm like, Lord, as soon as you tell me to start letting some of these testimonies go, I want to release some of these testimonies. Some of them are a little bit, what's the word, like sensitive. So they're not things that everybody wants somebody to hear or know. Some of them are stuff that are still in progress. Some of them, but some of the things that I'm hearing are like, this made zero sense, but I know I heard the Lord tell me to do this. And it came from my time. I was reading, you know, Isaiah. And in my time of reading Isaiah, the Lord came and literally spoke this to me. I stepped out in faith after processing this in my own personal time. I stepped out in faith, believing in the word that God gave me, because my faith is not in faith. My faith is in Him. And I stepped out in the word that He released to me through this process. And the other side of this is blowing up beyond what I could even begin to think or imagine. I mean, I would love to stand down here and actually tell you some of the things happening. I'm not released to do so. But I believe that we can see these things take place, not just here, not just me, but globally, in our nation, in our state, in our communities, that we can start to see the transfiguration of a nation, but it happens on an individual basis. It happens. I do believe, and you can throw whatever you want at me. I'm a good Dodger. I do believe that much of what we are seeing, even in our nation right now, is necessary. I do believe that what we're watching unfold, there's two things that I think. Number one, God will not share His glory with anyone. Number two, God gets the most glory when he shows up in impossible situations. Number three.
You reap what you sow.
That's something you can't get away from, ever. So there are some things that are taking place that are reaping and sowing. But I do believe that God has a plan, and our job is to discover that plan in our private time and then watch it begin to manifest publicly, not because we're in panic mode or we've processed the word through some twisted, mangled, messed up thing, but we're processing it through the truth of who he is, through the kingdom being established here on the earth, through his will being done through me, which technically is the same thing, and the manifestation publicly of my private life will be far greater than me just trying to make things happen. And you too, obviously. Okay, so I want to do something. I want to do something really strange right now. So everybody stand up. It's not strange like, woo, what the heck? It's strange like you're all going to get a hand mill. I wish I physically had one I could hand you. But I believe in the Spirit, God wants to give us a handmill so we can learn to process his word. Some of you maybe need a pole to bang the, you know, the truths out. But I believe God wants to release the ability for us to process the truths of the word out of what we're reading, what we're getting from him in our prayer times. And so I want everybody just to hold your hands out like this, and I'm going to pray, and just your job is to believe that you're receiving a handmill. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare over every person in this room, Lord, that we would receive the handmill of processing your word. That, Lord, as we enter into our daily time with you, whether that's in worship, in word, in prayer, all three, that, Lord, we would be given the ability to process correctly the truths of your word, that, Lord, you would be the handmill, that we would see the character of who you are, and that all truth would be processed through that, all word, that we would never pick up stones and try to make them bread, that we would never try to shove something in this handmill that is not bread, but Lord, we would constantly be processing through this bread, through this truth, through the bread every day that we're given. And so, Lord, would you put in our hands and in our hearts, in our lives, right now, a handmill to process. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We receive this handmill. We receive the processing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You now have a handmill. You have no excuse not to know everything. Just playing. Well, be blessed. If you need prayer for anything, find somebody near you and have them work their handmill with you.